Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. If you look at it, knowing what the outcome is, the story of Pharaoh and the 10 plagues is almost funny. You could see in Pharaoh kind of a spoiled kid, just having a series of temper tantrums and resisting all attempts by other people to make the situation better. You've all seen kids do that, haven't you? There's a fun children's book written by a Presbyterian called Kathleen Bostrom, and she based this book on rhymes from Dr. Seuss's Green Eggs and Ham. And so in this children's book, Pharaoh finds one thing after another to yell about, and he says, "I do not like your God, I am. You may not go to Canaan land. You may not leave here, Moses man. You may not go and worship God. You must stay here and work the sod. You must turn all this mud to bricks. You must not try your dirty tricks." That kind of a catchy rhyme, yeah, kind of makes you smile. You might read this to kids. And it shows this cumulative resistance to God. Pharaoh says no to one thing after another. He just gets in the habit of saying no. And nothing is going to make Pharaoh let the people go, it seems. And that's the serious part of the story. That's the thing we have to remember. This story is not a joke. This is about people living in slavery, oppressed by hard labor in Egypt, oppressed by powerful people, a large group of those who are powerless, in fact, at the mercy of those who are in power. And Pharaoh is the ruler of Egypt. He is the one in charge. He is the symbol of all that is powerful. It's Pharaoh, after all, who starts this all out with his fear of the Hebrew people. He put them to work on his supply cities, and Pharaoh's the one who orders the midwives to kill all the baby boys. It's Pharaoh who then orders the baby boys tossed into the Nile. It's Pharaoh who orders that the conditions for the Israelites be made worse after Moses and Aaron first approach him. And we didn't read this in our selection today, but Pharaoh tells the supervisors of his workforces, he says, "You shall no longer give the Israelites people straw to make bricks. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. But you shall require the same quantity of bricks as they made previously. Do not diminish the quantity of bricks. They are lazy." And that's why they cry, let's go and sacrifice to our God. "Let heavier work be laid on them, and then they will pay no attention to deceptive words." So this is part of Pharaoh's just trying to escalate and make everything worse for the Hebrew people, using and abusing his power. And perhaps some of you may have experienced situations like that. A coworker leaves, and they're not replaced, but you have to do all their work in addition to your own work. Or a deadline is moved up and the work can't get done in that time, but you get blamed for not making it happen. You know how things can escalate. You know how the people in power can sometimes just completely disregard the needs and the well-being of the worker bees. And that's a bad situation to be in. But you could always quit or get a new job. Or can you? Maybe jobs are scarce where you live. Or maybe you are tethered to one place by your care for a sick family member. Or maybe your computer skills aren't so great, and you can't do that online search for a new job that seems to be just a necessary part of things these days. And that's not so great either. But maybe you could get somebody to help you with the computer. My husband Larry is helping his sister navigate a rather complicated online job application process. And yet, sometimes people are caught in circumstances. They're trapped without any apparent way out. They are oppressed by people in power who do not care about them. And Pharaoh is that person in power. Pharaoh is the one with the ultimate power. And Pharaoh is using his power to harm and not to do good. Pharaoh is using his power to destroy instead of to create. It's no wonder that God takes Pharaoh on in the 10 plagues. I don't wonder if you noticed this, but the plagues are all aspects of God's creation, and they're being used to persuade Pharaoh to let God's people go free from slavery. Because worship is the ultimate freedom. Worship is the freedom to worship the God of life without any kind of coercion. It is Pharaoh's hard heart that has led to all these instances of God's good creation being used for rather catastrophic purposes. I mean, just imagine the very first plague. We've got the River Nile, which is meant to be the source of life, by the way. I mean, it has amazing seasonal flooding, and where it overflows, that acts as irrigation and fertilization for the land, brings life to the crops of the area. But now, the River Nile, the water, is turned into blood. The fish die. The people have nothing more to drink. What a symbol of destruction here. And then all the other plagues, we've got these swarms of things taking over. We've got creatures like frogs and gnats and flies and locusts, and each in their turn covers the earth. They blanket the land of Egypt, this deadly horde. In fact, these are the forces of chaos threatening to undo creation. We hear that the locusts ate all of the plants in the land. They ate all the fruit on the trees that the hail had left. Nothing green was left. No tree, no plant in the field in all the land of Egypt. This is creation being undone before our eyes. Now, Pharaoh has a lot of power. He's got power over slaves especially. He's got the power to make their lives miserable. He's got the power to keep them from worshiping their God. But Pharaoh does not have the power over creation. And we see this in the response to the plagues. At certain points in the story, Pharaoh begs Moses and Aaron to intervene. He says, pray to God that the frogs might be removed. Pray that the thunder and the hail might stop. Pray that those locusts will go away. And does it surprise you at all that God answers those prayers? Does it surprise you that the God who hears the cries of the Hebrew people, who answers the prayers of the oppressed, is also hearing the cries of the powerful, the cries even of the Egyptians? I think it's because God is not against the Egyptians per se. God is first of all faithful to God's chosen people. God is faithful to those who are in need, rescuing them from the oppressors. And it is God who has the real power in this story, including the power over creation. And God is going to use that power for good, combating the evil that has taken over Pharaoh. And what Pharaoh does not seem to know is that God has already won this battle. Pharaoh doesn't realize that he is already beaten. Even at the beginning, though, there should be no doubt in our minds that God has already won. Yes, Moses and Aaron are needed to help. And yes, Pharaoh can still resist. He can win a skirmish here and there. But the war is won. Pharaoh's going to try to extend his power. He's going to bargain. He's going to ask for favors. He's going to give promises, and then he's going to break those same promises. Pharaoh is going to keep on asserting his own will, asserting his own plan. But Pharaoh does not have a chance. And this is what the Christian faith continues to assert. In Jesus Christ, the war has already been won. The forces of evil may control many hearts and many kingdoms, but in the end, they do not have a chance. And this is why, by the way, that you don't hear Presbyterians talk so much about the devil, at least not as a power equal to God, because there is no power equal to God. Not Pharaoh, not the devil that we occasionally read about in Scripture. God alone has the power. God has the power of creation. God has the power to redeem. God has the power to sustain and encourage us. And the people are God's agents, people like Moses and Aaron, who turn out to be good leaders. They turn out to be necessary for God's plans, but they don't have the ultimate power on their own. That power is God's. Now, did you notice that at the end of all the plagues, when Pharaoh finally acknowledges that he is beat, when he agrees to let the Hebrew people go, Pharaoh also asks for a blessing from God. Isn't that stunning? I had to wonder when I read it, is he being ironic? Is he being sincere? Does he really mean that? Is he maybe asking for more wisdom as a leader so that he could maybe do a better job next time something like this happens? Or is he maybe still trying to get the upper hand on God? I don't know. You decide about that. Now, I have said that it may be easy when we know the end of the story. It may be easy on this side of the story to look at Pharaoh with some humor. And maybe we even look at him with some sympathy, because after all, God does ask a lot of us. And it is tempting even for us to resist God, to harden our hearts, and to say no to whatever it is God is asking of us now. But, church, that battle is already won, and we may not know it yet, but God will prevail. God has our future in God's hands, and God is working God's purposes out, whether that's going to be through us, like Moses and Aaron, or despite us, like Pharaoh. God is our loving God, our triune God. God is the one with the ultimate power, and God shall win the battle over all evil. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.